Coming at you live from the KTSW studios in San Marcos, Texas, this is Bobcat Radio.
Oh my gosh, Spider-Man over there. All right, guys, we have a great show in here today. And, you know, we have a lot of controversy going on. We have the NFL players taking a knee. We have the Adidas scandal. We'll get into that a little bit later. College basketball has just been a mess lately. We also have Reed on the floor over there. Reed, what are you doing? Stand up.
I was taking a knee.
Oh, my gosh. He's protesting this broadcast. He's
years
protesting
ago,
this broadcast
that would
radio.
Be you T-Bowing.
T-Bowing. Yeah, that's what I was
but,
doing.
But before we get started, we actually have to play a legal ID. So before we get going, we'll go ahead and play that real quick.
Hi, this is Wisebud, and you're listening to KTSW San Marcos.
Man, that was beautiful. I've never heard that legal ID before. But anyway, we are back in the show.
It's like something you hear at a spa or something. You're just relaxing, and that's the music that you hear.
But as far as that goes, guys, I just want to kind of go around the table and just, what are your thoughts? We're going to do a real quick thing. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but the NFL players taking a knee, the protest, you know, of course, it started off against police brutality, and now it's kind of turned into other stuff. But what are your thoughts on that, guys? It's just a whole, I guess we'll go around. We could start with Reed or Alex. I liked your response, but either way, we'll just kind of each give a little turn. We're not going to debate each other on that. We're just going to give our thoughts, and then we're going to move on to this Adidas thing. It's a really big deal. But so, Reed, I guess if you want to go, you can.
Yeah, I think it depends on what you're protesting as far as, like the way you mentioned, Alex talked about it, the way the Cowboys handle it was probably the best way to do it. For me personally, this is the way I see sports. I don't want your politics in my sports. So I don't have a ton of opinion on it. They can do their own thing. I'm not watching. I don't turn on an NFL game to watch the national anthem. Mm-hmm. I turn on an NFL game to watch the NFL game. So I don't have a whole lot of input on it. I don't appreciate the kneeling during the anthem. But like I said, I don't have a big opinion on it. I'm there to watch the game, not there to watch the pregame antics.
And kind of going off of what you're saying, you know, it's mostly about football. That's what you're there for. That's not really the time and place for politics. That's why I kind of respect what the Bears and the Steelers did in their games, how, like, or even some other teams, how they just didn't come out of the locker room because they just didn't want to be involved in the controversy. So I can certainly respect that. But I think the Dallas Cowboys had the absolute best response to just the entire weekend, what had happened, and people kneeling. They knelt before the national anthem, and then they stood for the national anthem. Because you could certainly make the argument, and I'm making this argument, that when you're kneeling during the national anthem, you're not protesting against what the president said. You're not protesting to police brutality. You're protesting against the men and women who have fought and died for our country. You know, if you're going to protest something like that, you should protest before the anthem. Because it clearly, it's just clearly dysfunctional. It's clearly, you know, very divisive. And it's certainly, you know, disrespectful, I should say, to the American flag. But I certainly respect what the Cowboys did. I respect what the Packers did last night. They all stood for the national anthem, linked arms. Like, you're protesting, but you're still standing for the anthem, which is very, very honorable. Parker, what's your take on all of this?
Well, my take was a lot like what Alex said, honestly. Like, I think at first, I mean, I was pretty stubborn about the whole idea of taking a knee, and I didn't think it was right just because, you know, how I grew up. You stand for the national anthem. That's just what you do. But I think learning more about it and learning the kind of the what it was about to begin with and what it kind of changed into, I think at first I think it was a pure and noble idea what Kaepernick was trying to do as protesting police brutality and, you know, obviously the inequality of racial injustice here in America. And I get all that because, I mean, that's obviously very there, and you can see it's very obvious in just everything you're seeing. But I think when it came to the whole national anthem, there was just so many strong feelings about it, and it took the focus away from police brutality, kind of put it more on, you know, we're protesting America, we're protesting Trump, and it kind of changed the whole narrative.
It felt like the NFL versus Donald Trump. That's honestly what it felt like. It kind of did.
It almost, you know, back when Trump was in the, I guess it was the UFL, I want to say, when he had a team.
There it was in New Jersey.
Yeah, it was like a New Jersey team, and he was kind of fighting the league, and he actually sued the football league for, like, so many.
I'm pretty sure he lost that.
He lost. He only ended up getting, like, I think, what was it, like $10 out of the whole thing, or maybe even less than that. But it was one of those things like where he was going after the NFL, and he didn't get, you know, he didn't get victory. And so I guess as president, he's trying to go after the NFL again. So I don't know. The whole thing's kind of turned into a mess. But I do like what the Cowboys did is they kind of protested and they stood for the anthem. So it's like you really can't get mad at that however you want to look at it. At first, I was a little confused by it.
Some might argue that they were on the fence doing that. And some people might have, you know, thrown criticism. But in my opinion, like, that's the way that you should protest because they're clearly – you know, that clearly was an insult that President Trump made with his comments. But again, you know, you're not protesting President Trump when you're kneeling for the national anthem. You know, that's just not what you're doing. So the fact that they knelt before and then they stood during, I thought it showed a great sense of unity. And I definitely think it still showed, you know, just sort of the values that should still be in place with everyone.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we'll leave it at that. I will say this is, there is a business law professor here called Jonathan Bible is his whole name, but his response to this when I tried to get him on the show was basically, he basically said, in addition to being on modified retirement at Texas State as a business law professor, I am an instant replay official in the Southeastern Conference, so he's a busy man. Our conference has a strict policy prohibiting game or instant replay officials from publicly commenting on anything pertaining to football, especially in season. In fact, we're not even supposed to be on social media. For that reason, I have to decline your offer to come onto the show. I hope you understand. And I was like, of course I understand. I mean, that's your job, you know.
And it's a very controversial issue.
And you don't really want to touch that if you're a ref, because your ref, you're supposed to be as neutral as possible.
Absolutely.
And so, moving on, the Adidas scandal, guys. Of course, you know, I was thinking about this. And Alex, you being from Kentucky, and, you know, obviously, you know, you grew up watching, you're a UK fan.
I grew up watching both Kentucky
and Louisville. And so you kind of expect that you were kind of in the breadbasket of college basketball right there. That was just such a good.
Absolutely.
What has it been like to you? Of course, for those of you that don't know, of course, Adidas got into some trouble. They were recruiting players for certain teams that their schools sponsored, were the officials outfitters of. You know, Texas State's on the list too, by the way. Adidas sponsors Texas State, but I couldn't get any comments or anything from Texas State front office about that. I tried to do that, but Reed, you want to get the details?
Yeah, well, as far as what Adidas did.
Yeah, as far as what.
The director of Adidas Global Sports Marketing, his name's Jim Gatto. He was accused of paying families of two high profile recruits to play for Adidas affiliated schools. One of these schools was Louisville. And the money exchanged with the two families was $100K to one of them and $150K to the other.
Yeah.
His right-hand man, Merle Code, was also involved in those. So Adidas is in some hot water right now.
Yeah, and it seems like a lot of college basketball is in hot water. Alex, you were making a good point earlier before the show about we're probably going to see coaches get fired left and right once the season starts.
Yeah, obviously the huge name in this case was Louisville, and like you said, me being from Kentucky, I mean, I grew up hearing all about, you know, John Calipari, all about Rick Pitino, and, you know, every time that UK and U of L would match up, that was always the big headline, Pitino versus Calipari, and Louisville had already been in some very controversial scandals in years past, obviously back in 2009, where Rick Pitino had an extramarital affair, that caused a lot of controversy, as well as the sex scandal with trying to influence recruits to come to Louisville, including the 2013 national championship team just a couple years back, where they're still on probation for, by the way. And then to have the FBI get involved in a case like this and Louisville being the main names to it, I am not surprised at all that Rick Pitino and the athletic director was removed and was fired. So, I mean, it's a sad day, but it's a sad day for Louisville fans. It's a sad day for college basketball because this is certainly inexcusable. But just sort of hearing and getting the word from around not just fans but just college basketball coaches and college basketball analysts alike, I really do believe we're only scraping the tip of the iceberg with this because obviously Emmanuel Richardson, an assistant coach from Arizona, was arrested, which, I mean, who knows? Maybe Arizona's head coach could be on the hot seat regarding the scandal. Auburn's Chuck Pearson was hit pretty hard with Chuck Pearson getting arrested. One of Bruce Pearl's staff, you know, getting into some trouble. Lamont Evans of Oklahoma State and then Tony Bland of USC. So we'll obviously see what will happen throughout the college basketball season, but I definitely think for some top 10 teams and for some very competitive teams, we might be in the middle of the season. We'll find out that a coach has been fired.
Well, and another way that it's affecting.
Before I let you. We're going to continue with this, but we're up on a 10-minute break here. So I gotta tell you guys, Bobcat Radio is sponsored by the University Bookstore, located on the second floor of the LBJ Student Center. The University Bookstore provides support for Texas State programs, departments, events, and organizations. More info at bookstore.txstate.edu or at 245-2273. Of course, we're going to continue this Adidas thing because it's not over, but we're also going to jump into some Texas State Wyoming football questions as well and just kind of talk about the game coming up. We have some audio from a newspaper guy, Robert Gagliardi from Wyoming, who's a sports writer there. He's kind of the beat writer there for the Wyoming Cowboys. And so we're going to talk with him a little bit. Of course, I'm not bringing him on, but we have some audio from him. And then we'll just dive into that but when we come back. But you're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW, San Marcos.
I'm the king of my car. The steering wheel, the cup holders, and my CD collection are my loyal subjects. How do I protect my dominion? I take lock and hide. I take my keys, lock the doors, and hide and secure my belongings every time I leave the car. So sleep sweetly, mismatched floor mats. This king keeps interlopers out.
Steer clear of car theft. Take lock and hide every time you park. A message from KTSW.
The other side of radio.
Rookie, these aliens are really ticking me off.
Why are they even attacking us, Sarge?
KTSW has one of the best Twitter pages in the galaxy, full of news updates, behind-the-scenes studio coverage, fan interviews, and great blog articles.
Wait, we went to war over a Twitter page?
I don't think you get how awesome the Twitter page really is, Rookie. See for yourself at KTSW_899.
Sarge, I've been hit. I'm going down.
Aw, don't worry. I'll take care of your soon-to-be ex-girlfriend.
No!
Guys, we are back here in this one. You're listening to Bobcat Radio with Parker Ray, Reed Graff, and Alex Gibbs. And we were just talking. Reed, you were about to make a good point about the whole Adidas scandal. Of course, Alex listed a lot of names that were affected, some big names. Of course, the top name being Rick Pitino. But it won't be – that won't be the last name. I mean, that won't be the – I think there might probably not be a bigger name than that, but you'll never know. I mean, there's could be a lot of coaches under fire. Adidas is like a monopoly here in the mm-hmm. United States now. I mean, they started taking over in 2015. It was Nike, but Adidas is slowly creeping up, and they've kind of created like a sports monopoly almost. So you were talking a little bit about
well,
that.
Well, another way that the schools are going to be hit is in the recruiting. I mean, just look at Louisville. Anfernee Simmons, he's the number 8 player in the 2018 recruiting class. He's already decommitted from Louisville. He decommitted the day after. Courtney Ramey, he's the number 49 in the class, also decommitted from Louisville. They're losing a lot of players, have dropped them out of their consideration. Auburn lost E.J. Montgomery, who was the number 31 player. So, obviously, teams are losing recruits because of this. So, not only is this going to affect the coaching staff, but it's also going to affect the quality of the program because they can't bring in players anymore. Because the only way they were able to bring in players was by offering them illegal money. So, we're already seeing the aftermath of this, and this is only 2 or 3 days after the fact. So
yeah, and you're really going to see Louisville just cut out that entire athletic department, that entire coaching staff. They're going to have to really start from scratch here to try to rebuild and try to bring back a good reputation for the University of Louisville. They certainly have taken the steps in the right direction in taking care of Rick Pitino and the athletic director. But even we've seen at Auburn some recruits that are already decommitting, and obviously – like you said, Auburn was getting hit pretty hard. But like I said, it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, sort of this dark cloud looming over college basketball as the season is actually right around the corner. And you could probably make the argument that this dark cloud is almost very similar. It's obviously not the same thing, but similar to the dark cloud that was over Major League Baseball back in the late 90s and early 2000s when you had the PED scandal with, like, Roger Clemens, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Barry Bonds, etc. So we'll see how the NCAA handles itself. We'll see how this will shake up college basketball. But you could definitely say that things have definitely changed in history, hopefully for the better.
Yeah, I hope they start to clean it up. And I think you're going to see a much purer game if they do. And I think it's going to be fun for the fans. And, of course, when money gets involved and, you know, sponsorships get, you know, you're sponsoring certain players and you're picking favorites, that can kind of prevent certain people from certain areas standing out. And so I think it does help the nip that in the bud, especially at the college level. So anyway, moving on to football, college football, that is, Wyoming is coming up. And actually, Texas State, Believe it or not, they actually moved down in the USA Today rankings. Texas, of course, it's pretty believable after last week's performance, but they're ranked. They were ranked 172, I believe, or 173 before the game against UTSA. They're down to 179 now. Wyoming is at
6 bucks.
Yeah, Wyoming is 97. UTSA is 78, and of course, another team in our team you were talking about, Reed, us being ahead of, Liberty. Not anymore. They're 176. They're a little bit ahead of us. And Coastal Carolina, another team in our division, a team that was a D2 school last year. And, of course, there's a lot of D2 schools ahead of us, but they're ranked 171, according to Jeff Sagan, the guy from USA Today. So, that being said, looking at the rankings, I mean, y'all have it in front of you guys. What do you think about that? Also, ESPN is giving us an 8% chance to win. Just throwing that out there as well. So,
it's turning into a broken
record.
Pretty
gloom, huh?
It's
pretty
gloom
and doom.
Every week, 8%, 12%. We've hovered around the 170. Yeah. At this point, you can't really worry about rankings if you're Texas State. You're just trying to improve the freshman team that you have. I think they just need to throw results out the window and just start progressing
these
young
players. They kept
telling
us that at the beginning of the season, too. They were like, this is a building year. This is a building year.
Yeah, they're not worried about wins and losses.
My whole thing was,
even though Gabe Schrade wonderfully gave us the "winning is exciting" quote, but it's not
going to
be a very exciting season.
They kind of got their rears handed to them against UTSA in that second half. I mean, obviously it was a 2-possession game going into the second half, but even so, they were dominated at the line of scrimmage against UTSA, both defensively and offensively, and that offensive line was just pitiful in that second half against UTSA. I mean, Damian Williams only had, what, like 2-3 seconds maybe to try to make a decision whether to run or throw the ball?
You guys were down there. You saw it. I mean, UTSA wasn't much bigger than our guys, right?
Mm-mm.
I mean, it was just the fact that they wanted it more. They were more physical, and they outplayed our guys.
Well, they broke a school record for rushing yards in a game.
Yeah.
You think they won the trenches?
370.
It was like 367, 370. It was way up there.
But, you know, I actually want to kind of move on from the UTSA talk. We're on to Wyoming now. Josh Allen, great quarterback, guys. I sat down with Robert, I had a phone call with Robert Gagliardi, the sports writer for the Wyoming, kind of the guy who follows them, and this is what he had to say. He was a really cool guy, actually, but here's what he had to say about Josh Allen.
I mean, this was a kid who, you know, was 185 pounds in high school, and no one had any interest in him. He goes to a junior college and puts up, you know, good numbers, but nothing even that just would wow you, and still had very little interest from schools. And Wyoming actually went to his junior college to recruit someone else. Coach saw the quarterback and thought, well, you know, you might want to take a look at this kid. And they did. And then, you know, boom, you know, look where he's at now. And even, you know, his first year, in 2015, he started the second game of the season and was doing really well, but on the 13th play of the game, he took on a would-be tackler and broke his collarbone in 7 places. And you're like, wow, you know, what's this kid going to amount to? And then last year, he just the throws he can make and his physical abilities, it's just been, you know, almost kind of, but how he's handled everything. I mean, he almost turned pro after last season. In fact, he had made a decision to where he was going to do it. He went to bed on it. Didn't sleep, and it just didn't feel right, and he decided to come back. And those, I can only imagine how tough of a decision that could be for a young kid to.
And I had to cut him off there because he's pretty long-winded. But that being said, it sounds like to me like Josh Allen making plays with his arm, running around the field, doing crazy things. He talks later about how he revitalizes the culture there in Wyoming because, I mean, it's Wyoming. I mean, there's not a whole lot of excitement there. The whole state has a population of about 580,000, is what he said. So think about that. I mean, mm-hmm. The city of Houston's bigger than that.
Yeah.
So much bigger than that. But anyway, basically what he said was, you know, he was an exciting guy, and he chose to stay in Wyoming. The difference between a guy like Johnny Manziel and Josh Allen, I think, speaks volumes. The fact that he was willing to stay at college and not go pro, even though he probably could have.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at any NFL draft board, he's going to be one of the top 3 quarterbacks in every single one. I mean, he's 6'4", he can run, he can make every throw on the field. We've said every week, this might be the best quarterback. Well, let me tell you this, Josh Allen is the best quarterback the Bobcats will see this year. But he has struggled, he has not been fantastic. I mean, he's only thrown for about 600 yards, 3 touchdowns. He hasn't been, he's been solid, but he hasn't been amazing. So Bobcats might be able to take advantage of him kind of being in a little bit of a rough stretch right now. But that being said, you're still facing a very, very high-tier talent at quarterback.
He's certainly a very dangerous opponent. But what is kind of interesting is, again, Texas State was only given an 8% chance on ESPN.com to beat Wyoming. But it's funny because you look at the stat sheet. As far as total yards gained, Texas State actually leads the way overall statistically versus Wyoming, 289 yards versus 269. I believe that the real difference in this game, though, is Wyoming's defense. I mean, my goodness. I mean,
actually, that's a great segue.
They've been kind of put through the ringer a little bit going up against, like, Iowa and Oregon earlier this season where they kind of got pounded. But the defense has really kind of been a difference maker for Wyoming this year. I mean, they got Kevin Prosser, who has 2 sacks and is very good at making the, you know, getting the offense to fumble the football, as well as defensive lineman Carl Granderson, who also has 3 sacks. He has the most tackles for loss in 6.
Yeah, you and I were going pregame through the statistics because you wanted to look at the defensive line, and I was like, who leads the team in forced fumbles? Oh, it's Carl Granderson. Who leads the team in sacks? Oh, it's Carl Granderson. Who leads the team in tackle? Oh, Carl. Like, Granderson, this kid's everywhere.
And you know what? I'm looking at Josh Allen's numbers this year, and they're not terribly impressive.
Like I just said, he's struggling a little bit early in the season.
658. With 100, he had 115 throws, only completed 63 of them, has 658 yards. Damian Williams has almost similar yardage. And then you have, you know, of course, three TDs and 3 interceptions. Not great. Not great numbers there. But, I mean, he has the capability to go off, and I think the Bobcats have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. But you were talking about the defense, Alex, and Robert actually talked about them as well. So, you know, it's kind of long. I won't play the whole clip. But here's some of what he said about the defense for Wyoming.
Well, I don't know if they're surprises. The guys the guys that have been playing well are guys that they needed them to play well. Along the line, you know, Kevin Prosser and Carl Granderson are 2 junior defensive ends that have been good players. Granderson was lost midway through last season with a knee injury, and he came back this year and he was playing at an all-conference level before he got hurt, and he's certainly playing like it now. And this was a kid who was a wide receiver in high school who was 190 pounds at 6'6" when he came to Wyoming, and now he's almost 250. And, he's been really good. Kevin Prosser, was forced into duty as a true freshman at about 190 pounds, and now he's about 230, and they're really fast guys. They're not the biggest guys, but they're really fast. And Prosser is dealing with a shoulder issue, but they've both been playing well and been pretty disruptive. Linebacker, a kid named Logan Wilson was the Mountain West Freshman of the Year last year. As a redshirt freshman, a Wyoming kid from Casper who played on one of the outside backer spots, but they moved him to the middle backer this year because they needed a guy there. He's put on about 20 pounds of muscle. He's about 235 and just the epitome of just a tough middle linebacker, you know, and makes plays. And then on the backside, I think Wyoming has 2 of the better safeties in the Mountain West and, Andrew Winger and Marcus Epps. And, you know, those guys were expected to play well and they certainly have. You know, Winger was the Mountain West Defensive Player of the Week this past week for his game against Hawaii. And Epps got injured late in the Hawaii game, and I'm not sure of his status for this week. But I'd say those 2 guys back really kind of solidified the defense. It's been, you know, this defense isn't going to just stone you and just shut you down from start to finish, but they've proven they can make plays. And in the
Well, that was it there. I mean, he basically said this defense is not going to stone you at the line of scrimmage. They're not going to beat you up all game long, kind of like UTSA's defense. But still an impressive defense, mm-hmm. guys. And so you want to talk on some players, Reed and Alex?
Yeah, I was doing my scouting. He kind of did it for me. But some of the guys he mentioned redshirt sophomore linebacker Logan Wilson. He's tied for the team lead in tackles. He was the Mountain West Conference Freshman of the Year last year. He had 94 tackles, which led all freshmen in the Mountain West Conference. And then their stud is obviously going to be junior safety Andrew Wingard. I mean, this guy is the rock. He's one of the best secondary guys in all of college football. He's on the Jim Thorpe watch list, the Bronco Nagurski watch list, and the Chuck Bednarik watch list. So this guy's everywhere. He's the current FCS leader in solo tackles. He averages 6 of those a game. He has 37 tackles and 2 interceptions. So this is kind of who they look to anchor their secondary. As far as offense goes, the main targets for Allen is they're both redshirt sophomores. The first one is Austin Conway. He has 25 catches, 223 yards, and a touchdown. He's kind of their go-to guy. C.J. Johnson was supposed to be the main guy coming out of the spring, coming out of the offseason, and he's played well, 10 catches, 157 yards, and a touchdown. But the guy that stood out to me while I was doing my scouting, they have a kid at running back. He's a true freshman. He leads them in carries. His name is Trey Woods. And, Parker, you have some audio from him and from that same interview on Trey Woods.
Yeah, I mean, we can just jump right into that if we want. Here's Trey Woods talking.
Looks like he's done this. This was a kid that Wyoming recruited this last year. He was played pretty much every position in high school. In fact, when they signed him, as an athlete. They recruited this kid as a running back, but they had gotten two other commitments from running backs in their class, so there was a brief time where there didn't look like this kid was going to come to Wyoming at all, but the staff saw the athletic ability in this kid, and they said, look, we can't pass up an athlete this good. So, you know, they signed him, they worked him, he was playing linebacker all through fall camp, and was doing okay. The coaches were saying he would probably play on special teams this year, you know, but right before the Iowa game, the week of the Iowa game, the opener, they moved him back to running back because they felt like they needed to get a little more size in there, and they kind of kept gradually working him in, and, you know, he's 6'3", 210 pounds now, could easily be 230 by the time, you know, his career ends. He just seems like he's just a natural athlete, kind of runs upright, but when you're 6'3", it's not exactly the easiest to get your bat level down sometimes. So, you know, not to say that the kid's got it all figured out, but he's certainly shown some signs that he could be something pretty good. You know, Wyoming's still working out some things along the offensive line. It's been kind of a, you know, they start two true freshmen, and that was planned. They felt that those two guys were their best guys during camp. That gave them the best chance to win, and now they've had a few injuries here and there, so they're kind of mixing and matching. So the run game's been kind of sputtered, but I think they feel like Trey Woods gives them the best chance to be productive as far from the running back.
All right, that was pretty much it for Trey. They're talking about Trey Woods, Robert was, and he had some pretty good things to say, basically saying he was 6'3", 210, could end up being 230. That's probably a better natural size for him.
That's a
big running back, guys. I mean, 6'3". Our guys are like 5'10", 5'11", right? So
yeah, I think we have one guy. I don't remember who it is. It might be Anthony Taylor, who's about 6'1".
So he's up there, 6'3". But still, 6'3",
yeah,
used to play linebacker.
He mentioned that he was an athlete,
yeah.
and they recruited him to play running back. He was a two-star athlete. He's from North Bend, Oregon. He's got 192 yards on 28 carries this season. 135 of those came in one game in their win against Hawaii. So this is going to be a big back, and it's going to be interesting to see how he matches up with Texas State linebacking core, which is none of them are 6'3", but they're good linebackers. So it's going to be another fun matchup.
Yeah, and I don't mean to keep going back to, I guess, my same argument, but I really do think that the biggest key to the game for Texas State is the offensive line. I mean, obviously,
no,
Wyoming
true.
Has a huge... I mean, they certainly... You could make the argument that, you know, maybe, you know, UTSA was maybe more experienced or something like that. You could. But obviously, with the offensive line for Texas State, I mean, they have to improve against a running back like that and a quarterback that is pretty dang good. So if you can keep the offense on the field pretty, you know, for a good amount of time in the game, that kind of gives your defense a break against Wyoming's huge running back that could really, really put some damage on the board for you. So if they can really improve the offensive line and give Damian Williams and the running and receiving crew more than enough time to maybe get some yardage in and maybe get a couple scores, then maybe Texas State has a chance. But if it's one of those things to where the offense is just in and out, that defense is just going to be worn out by the fourth quarter, guaranteed.
And, guys, we actually are transitioning now to we'll come back to football. Don't worry about it. But we have Texas State soccer defender Genesis Terman on the line after the commercial breaks. But, Reed, do you have some weather for us?
I do. If you like it being in the mid to low 80s, this is your week. It's been obviously it's raining right now. It's going to rain the rest of today. That's going to be mid to low 80s for the rest of this week and next week. Tomorrow and Sunday will be very sunny, so break from the rain. But bad news is, starting next week comes right back. There's a 60% chance Tuesday and Wednesday. So enjoy your weekend while it's bright and sunny outside. It might be a little humid just because of the rain we've had this week, but it shouldn't be too bad. So you got that to look forward to. Today there's a high of 80, so probably the coolest we've seen yet this year. But coming into the end of next week, it might get down into the 70s. So you have that to look forward to.
All right, guys, when we come back, we have star defender Genesis Turman on the line. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW, San Marcos.
KTSW is sponsored by Yogurt in Love, located on the corner of Wonder World Drive and Hunter Road in San Marcos. Yogurt in Love offers frozen yogurt, smoothies, and crepes with toppings. More info at yogurtinlovesmtx.com.
Water. Must find water.
Doctor, come quick. We have another one.
Not again. He's pale, dizziness, dry mouth. Nurse, there's nothing we can do for him. He's too dehydrated.
No!
When the Texas heat is in the triple digits, bobcats can drop like flies.
Heat stroke is no joke. Protect yourself.
Drink water, wear sunscreen, and hang in the shade.
A message from KTSW, the other side of radio.
Greetings, and welcome to the future. Thanks to the magic of technology, KTSW 89.9 is able to bring you all the joy of radio with no radio required. You can stream KTSW anytime, anywhere by visiting ktsw.net or the Texas State app on your computer phone. Now you can live without fear of missing your favorite KTSW program, like Other Side Drive or Bobcat Radio. KTSW is your radio companion to the year 2000 and beyond.
All right, guys, we are back here in this one, and we have Genesis Turman on the line. Genesis, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Oh, it is awesome. I'm doing good. I know, I guess Reed's doing good over there, and I guess Alex has his Spider-Man shirt on, so he's doing good.
I'm doing pretty awesome.
Yeah, we're all just doing good. But anyway, I guess I'll just go right into the questions here. I know you were a freshman last year, and I got to call some of your games. You were actually like one of the – like the very first Texas State game I ever called was a soccer game, and you were playing. And just the ferociousness you play with, the fearlessness you play with, I mean, you were flying all over the field. You were a defender, but you were, it seemed like, you know, I didn't know much about soccer, but I figured a defender would, you know, just kind of be laid back and defend things. But you were aggressive. You took chances. It was very fun to watch. Have you always played the game I don't want to say recklessly, but just... have you always played the game just all out like that, or did it take time to kind of develop that type of aggressive nature?
I grew up watching my brothers play, and my older brother, Isaiah, was a defender just like me, and I kind of just took after him, I think. He was just a go-getter, always in the action, loved it, and I think that was really where it came from. Just I knew that a defender didn't have to be timid and didn't have to just, you know, stay there, that they could get into the attack, that they could be fearless.
Genesis is Reed here. You have an awesome name, by the way. I just want to mention
Thank you.
You probably get that a lot. So you've your second year here, you've turned into one of the Bobcats' better players. Every time I watch, you stand out. We called the Georgia Southern game this past weekend, and they kept trying to attack your side, and they just couldn't get past you. And they said, well, we'll just go the other side. They couldn't get past you. You played great. What have you worked on personally to become the player that you are?
I think personally, knowing my role and knowing that, yes, I am, I do want to get into the attack, and I do want to be that player, but also that there are some teams that are better than others, and I just got to, you know, stay back, and I got to do my job. I got to keep protect the goal, and I think that was really what helps me, and also having center defenders that really helped to just keep me sane, you know, let me know exactly what I should be doing at the time, point me the right direction.
Hey, Genesis, Alex Gibbs here. So, just kind of getting into just talking about the season here. You guys struggled early on, but you guys have won two in a row. You're back on sort of the winning side of things. So my question to you is, now that you're kind of on a two-match or two-game winning streak, how important is it for you guys to continue the winning trend in these next two home games coming up?
So important. I mean, we're in conference now, and that's a big deal. You kind of have to give everything you've got when you do get to conference. And I think that I had an interview paper interview earlier, and one of the things I said was just that once we find that little piece of gold deep down in us, is that we're going to be ready and we're going to go all at it, and I was really excited for that, and we found it, and I'm honestly, like, so excited that we are on the road to that ring, because I know that this team is special. I've been a part of a lot of teams, and there's just something different about a team that wants to fight and wants to win so bad, and I know that this team can do it.
Well, I kind of wanted to hit on the Georgia Southern game. That game got pretty physical. I know there was another player on the other team, Clara Michi, who, you were kind of giving it to each other, and you weren't backing down. She wasn't backing down, and I just think I noticed most of the time you seem like the type of player that is just so physical. You're in the other player's face. I know when you look at other sports, you have players like that in basketball. That's just, this guy is just a gnat. He's just all over the place. You have players in football that you're like, wow, you just can't shake this guy. They're everywhere. They're all over the field. That's the type of player I think you are. Is it something you set out to kind of get into the other opponent's head, or is it just something that you just kind of play your game, and if it happens, it happens. You don't really care. You're not looking for it. Or are you kind of looking for that kind of like confrontation to kind of throw the other offensive player off?
I think from the beginning of the game, I'm just kind of, let's go out there and let's be fearless and let's really show the team that, like, I'm not going to back down. But as the game goes on, you do have to, like, kind of gauge where the other team's at. If it's a team player, you can't go too hard because, you know, they're actually going to call it for them every time. But at the same time, if it's not, you have to show them who's boss. You have to show them who's going to own that field and who's really going to take control there. And I think that was one of the biggest things in that Georgia Southern game. I mean, I knew that if I backed down and if I just, stood back a little bit and gave her a little bit of space and let her feel safe, that she'd take the field, and I couldn't let that happen. So just kind of got to go all out.
Okay, Genesis, you come from a big high school in Allen, Texas, obviously. And you probably were pretty somewhat recruited to come because you're such a good athlete. And I love getting players' perspectives on what made them choose the university that they came to. It's just interesting to me. What was it that brought you that you wanted to play at Texas State and made you decide this is where I'm going to play my career at?
So I actually grew up in San Antonio. I grew up in Church, Texas. Went to Clemens my freshman year of high school, and then I transferred to Allen. My dad's job moved us up there. So the first thing I did was come to the camp in the summer, the residential camp, and the first thing that I felt was just like home, and I loved the players that were working the camp, and I loved just the feel of everything. I loved the competitiveness, and I think that was the one thing that really brought me here, was that it was just competitive. It felt like home, and I knew that I could find my place here, and I sure as heck did. I love it here, and I think it was honestly the best choice for me. I had a couple other offers, a couple other four rides that I could have gone for, but I know that they wouldn't have compared to this. This is awesome here. I love it.
Hey, Genesis, Alex Gibbs again. You mentioned earlier that this team is special, and I can definitely agree with that. I'm excited for you guys, and I'm excited for your team because you guys are tied with South Alabama for the best record in the Sun Belt, and you are second in the Sun Belt standings as compared to much lower a year ago. Can you tell us about the overall feeling in the clubhouse with your teammates and, you know, the head coach with the success that you guys have had this season?
Coach Kat has really ushered in just a sense of urgency and a sense of camaraderie that we can do it if we push ourselves, if we compete. And I think that's been one of the biggest words, especially once we've gotten into our conference play, is just the word compete. We have competition days every Tuesday where two people on the team pick teams, and it's kind of like a, if you're not picked first, then you're lost, you know, kind of thing. And I think that has been big for us. We just want to win. We want to fight. And when I tell you it gets gritty out there, it's dirty. And it's, but after it, I mean, we're all friends and we're ready to go out there the next day and be on each other's team and switch it up. And that's the biggest thing, I think, that this year has been different, because we just want it so much more. Last year we wanted it, but it wasn't like we wanted to put it in the back of the net. We wanted to do everything that we could. And this year we do. This year, no matter what it is, rain delay or not, you know, we're going to get it. So I think that's been a big thing.
That's really cool. And talking about teammates stepping up and just how great the team is as a whole, Heather Martin, the goalie, was selected Sun Belt Defensive Player of the Week this past week.
Yes, she was.
What's it like playing, being a defender in front of a goalie like that? That, you know, it's almost like having a big center in basketball. She's just going to knock down anything that comes in her way. I mean, she has been pitching shutouts left and right. What's it like playing in front of a goalie like that where you know maybe if you mess up a little bit, she's still got your back?
It's honestly so nice. I mean, I've had some good goalies in my time, and she's one of the better ones. I love playing with her. She takes command of the field so well, and I think that's the thing that really keeps the back line sane. She helps us to just, you know, we don't have to worry about what's behind us, because sometimes when you don't have that goalie that really takes command like that, you're the last line of defense, and that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
So to have that back there is big time, and she really helps to command the field, like I said, and it's awesome. She definitely deserved that award, and I was so happy that she got it. She made some big saves this past week.
All right, Genesis, it's before the game. You're getting pumped up in the locker room. You're trying to get jazzed up for the game. What songs are in your pregame playlist?
What songs? I think as a team, our favorite song is Woman by Kesha. We go hard. I mean, it's not like the most pumped up song, but as a girls soccer team, you know, it's just a big time song for us, and we all go at the top of our lungs for that one.
All right, Genesis. Well, this is a new segment. We started a couple weeks ago with Anthony D. Taylor, the running back for Texas State Bobcats, and we're kind of just trying this out. It's kind of a goofy segment, but I think it's going to catch on here. It's rapid. Alex asks rapid-fire questions, and they're kind of silly questions, but, you know, they're usually yes or no questions or just simple answer questions. But if you're ready for the rapid-fire questions, we can go ahead and get this started if you want.
Yikes, let's do it.
All right, so here's Alex.
All right, I have six rapid-fire questions. Genesis, are you ready?
I think so, let's go.
All right, Batman or Superman, and why?
Superman, because I know him a little bit better.
Favorite Disney movie?
Beauty and the Beast, love it, always have, always will.
If your team had a karaoke night, which teammate would sing the most?
Heather Martin.
Biggest pet peeve?
My boyfriend doesn't call me at night.
And last but not least, are you a cat or dog person?
Cat. Love cats. Have two of them.
Total dog person over here at the other end. We got some controversy already. Oh my gosh. Can't believe it. Thank you so much.
All right, Genesis.
No,
before we let you go, I actually wanted to ask you about your next opponent, Appalachian State. What do you guys need to do Sunday night at 7 p.m. To top Appalachian State in conference play, and what do you need from the fans?
The biggest thing is just coming out strong, coming out competitive, coming out fierce. We watch them film on them, and they love to go at you. They love to never stop, and they love to never quit. So we're just going to come out with that mentality that we're going to beat them at all costs. We're going to do everything that we have to really get in there and really get gritty and get the W in the end. So I think biggest thing from the fans is just a little bit of energy to keep us going throughout the game. It's a long game. It's a hard game, but I know we can do it. And I think in the locker room, just mentally preparing ourselves for a long, hard-fought battle, I think that will really help us put us over the top.
All right, Genesis, thank you for calling in, and good luck on Sunday.
No problem. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. That was Genesis Terman. That was a good interview. She was very engaging in a lot of things. I mean, Anthony Taylor was a solid interview. Genesis, I have to put up there with that. I mean, what did you guys overall think of that?
I enjoyed it. I think we got some good stuff from her. We also had a little bit of fun, and it was a great interview, and she's a great player, and hopefully she can I like their Woman by Kesha. That's their go-to song when they're getting fired up. That's pretty funny.
Oh, that's scary for a bunch of guys right there. You watch out.
Just getting, like, wide eyes as soon as they hear it. No, I really love doing some of these rapid-fire questions. We need to try to get some audio or something, or, like, some sound effects we can, you know, sound off.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, some gunshots or something, you know.
That would be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool. But, anyways, I love doing interviews with anybody affiliated with Texas State Athletics. Obviously, Anthony D. Taylor a couple weeks ago, that was a great interview. Obviously, Genesis was a fantastic interview today, and I had a really great time. And like she said earlier, I agree with her on this. This team really is special. I really do think that they're going to be competing for the Sun Belt Conference title. We'll see where they go after that, but I'm certainly excited for where this Texas State soccer team is heading.
I really am, too. And then, of course, there's other stuff going on. There's some volleyball matches. They're on They're on the road, I think. They haven't been. They've been home for a while.
They got a big 4-game road trip actually coming. All right, Alex, which is really convenient for them because, or not convenient.
They've just been kind of struggling a little
bit. Yeah, they were struggling before they won against Troy this past weekend. I believe it was on Sunday because me and Riley called that game on KTSW. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they got a clean sweep of Troy, and it's really important for them to have gotten that win, especially going up against like Appalachian State, Coastal Carolina, Arkansas Little Rock, and Arkansas State University in this big 4-game road trip coming up for them. Madison Daigle had a huge game against Troy with about 10 blocks, and then Amy Flugop just took off with, I believe it was like a season high in 11 kills, which is ridiculous. So hopefully they'll be able to keep that up on this road trip. Obviously, Coastal Carolina is one of the much better teams in the Sun Belt Conference, so hopefully they'll be able to keep up with them. But I'm certainly excited, especially since they got a good win coming off of a 4-game losing streak, getting that win against Troy.
Yeah, and the two games on the road trip are against Appalachian State tonight at 5:30 p.m. in Boone, North Carolina. Then they go to Conway, South Carolina on Sunday, and they play Coastal Carolina at 11:30 a.m. So both those games you can follow along on txstatebobcast.com. And the Appalachian State game tonight you can actually watch on watchespn.com. So, you know, something to check out our ladies on the volleyball court. They do really good things. And, of course, that just transitioned. I actually want to talk about the Rattlers game this Friday night. I'll be calling it San Marcos Rattlers football. We are back. We missed the Taft game because we were broadcasting the UTSA game. So the San Antonio Taft game we did not get to call. It was a Saturday game. But now they're back to the regular Friday schedule, and we will continue to call them. We will not miss another game. I promise you that. I'll be on the call with Brendan Snow, and Andrew Zimmel will be in the studio producing that one. And they play San Antonio McCollum. So, you know, it's a game in town. It's in San Marcos. So San Marcos Rattlers fans, go to the game if you can. If you cannot go to the game, tune into KTSW 89.9 or KTSW.net, and you can hear that with a 7:15 pregame and a 7:30 start time. All right. Now all the plugging is done. We're going to go back into football, guys, a little bit more. And I know we actually have some MLB stuff I want to talk about, too, because I think the last 10 minutes we'll just hit on that. But for now, let's go back to the Wyoming football. Let's go back to Texas State playing Wyoming tomorrow at 3 o'clock. And the pregame will be right here at 2:45. And you can catch the whole game on KTSW 89.9. But that being said, I actually talked to Robert a little bit about the culture of the Wyoming, how it's kind of just the whole place is just like a big town, basically, is what he said. And I thought that was very interesting because I didn't know how small Wyoming was. I know it's just one of those towns you kind of overlook. And so I was basically just like, you know, I didn't think it was that small, but 580,000 or something like that, that amazes me. And the fact that the fan base is so loyal there, it's the only show in town. It's the only show in the state. It's the only 4-year school in the state of Wyoming, and this is how the fans kind of rally around it. And Robert talks on it for a little bit. I won't play the whole thing, but this is what he said.
Sure. You know, I think going into this year, based on, you know, an 8-win season last year and winning the Mountain Division, the Mountain West, and having a guy like Josh Allen come back, I think the excitement level for Wyoming football was probably as high as it's been in the 20 years I've been covering the team. What makes Wyoming unique, though, is it's the only show in town, so to speak. I mean, the University of Wyoming is the only 4-year school in the state. It's the only one that has a football program. There's junior colleges and stuff, but, you know, but Wyoming's also a very rural state. It's only, you know, 580,000 people. It's like one giant town, but, you know, in a lot of ways. And fans will drive, you know, great distances, 6, 7, 8 hours to go to games. So, I think the fan base is very excited. It's kind of in a weird spot now because the Texas State game will be the fourth of four straight home games. You know, and one of those games was, you know, Gardner-Webb, and that wasn't exactly a top draw. And then you had the Oregon game that I think everyone had circled off their calendar, you know, because it's, you know, vaunted Oregon coming here. You don't see Pac-12 schools come to Laramie, Wyoming very often. And then, you know, the conference opener, I think there was excitement, but it was a late night start on ESPN, and that always hurts the crowd. And now Texas State, you know, coming in. So I think it's hard for fans, especially ones that have to drive, you know, great distances to just come every single weekend. But as far as the culture goes, I mean, it's, you know, since Craig Bull took over, he's had a very definite plan. He's stuck to the plan, and I think the fans have really responded well to how Craig wants to do things. They like the way they play. You know, they want to be a tough, physical team, and that kind of epitomizes a lot of the people in the state of Wyoming, so I think they've really embraced that. So, you know, it's not like they get sellouts every game or anything like that, but it's a very, I think it's a very prideful fan base. It's a very energetic one, and they might not be big in numbers, but they're as proud of their football team as any fan base in the country.
Of course, that was Robert Gagliardi from the Wyoming Sports Network, and basically talking about the culture, how Wyoming is just pretty much just a big town, a big spaced out town. But anyway, going back to football, going back to actually Bobcat Radio, sponsored by the University Bookstore, and that is located on the second floor of the LBJ Student Center. The University Bookstore provides support for Texas State programs, departments, events, and organizations. More info at bookstore.txstate.edu or at 245-2273. When we come back, it's going to be all playoff race, all MLB baseball coming up. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW, San Marcos.
I'll tell you what I like the sound of. Not that.
No.
Another the sound effect. I like the sound of Other Side Drive, KTSW's own afternoon drive time variety show. You're going to love the sound of it too, since you like interviews with bands, live performances, and fresh music. Other Side Drive is on KTSW every weekday from 4 to 6 p.m. Sound good to you? Who's doing that?
Other Side Drive is sponsored by Austin Community College.
Greetings, and welcome to the future. Thanks to the magic of technology, KTSW 89.9 is able to bring you all the joy of radio with no radio required. You can stream KTSW anytime, anywhere by visiting ktsw.net or the Texas State app on your computer phone. Now you can live without fear of missing your favorite KTSW program, like Other Side Drive or Bobcat Radio. KTSW is your radio companion to the year 2000 and beyond.
We are back, and guys, I just want to dive right in to the MLB. You're listening to Bobcat Radio. Parker A, Reed Graff, Alex Gibbs here. So, guys, Alex, you're chomping at the bits. Reed, I know you're chomping at the bits as well, guys. Just overall, the landscape of the MLB, Reed, you start us off.
Well, first off, I want to talk about this past weekend's Texas Rangers-Houston Astros
series. I know you had to get that in.
I've been told both of y'all the same thing. I'm so happy about this. Three-game series in the series where the Rangers, in the series that they would not switch after Hurricane Harvey, when Minute Maid Park was literally flooded, they would not switch with them. And game one of the three-game series, the Astros won 12-2, won the silver boot. In game two of the series, they won 14-3, and they officially eliminated the Rangers from the playoffs. And in game three, they won 12-2 again, or 11-2, I'm sorry. The Astros locked the Rangers into a losing season. If that doesn't tell karma, then I don't know what does. But as far as with the Astros in the playoffs, in order to get the best record in ALCS home field advantage, they would have to sweep Boston, and Cleveland would need to lose 2 out of 3 against Chicago White Sox. So the odds of that are very slim, but there is still chances. But I do like they're playing really well. They're getting hot right before they head into the playoffs. It'll be interesting to see who gets what matchup and who makes the playoff roster. I'm sure we'll be able to touch on that more next week. But as of right now, they're looking good.
Yeah, they are. They're looking fantastic. And for the most part, most of the MLB races are pretty much wrapped up. The only spot that is still up for grabs is that second wild card. Obviously, the Cubs won their division a couple nights ago in St. Louis. They locked up the NL Central. And then the Twins locked up the second wild card spot in the American League. But in the National League, that second wild card spot is still up for grabs. The Colorado Rockies have that spot right now as they are up by 2 games over the Milwaukee Brewers. What's interesting is St. Louis was eliminated from playoff contention in St. Louis against the Cubs, of course. Not only did the Cubs win the division, but they were eliminated from playoff contention. Ironically, Milwaukee is in St. Louis for the last regular season series this weekend, and the Cardinals now can play spoiler. They could spoil the Brewers if they win any of these games this weekend. So what's really going to be interesting is if Milwaukee can sweep the Cardinals to at least keep the chances alive. And what's also interesting is that The Dodgers will be at Colorado this weekend. So the Dodgers could kind of play a little bit of spoiler there, too, even though they have things kind of wrapped up in their own respects as far as playoffs go. But they could maybe potentially spoil things for Colorado. We will simply just have to see what happens. But I'm definitely excited, not just for the postseason, but who's going to get the second wild card spot?
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of good storylines here. I also want to hit on the fact that the Astros are having a four-game series with the Red Sox, and that very well could be their first-round matchup.
It's very possible.
So you have four games, and then at least another three games, probably five games if I had to guess. And my gosh, like, this last series with the Red Sox, the Astros-Red Sox series, is going to be exciting. And then you also have the Indians that played the Twins not too long ago, right? I mean, they played the Twins before the White Sox, and that could very well, I mean, you could argue the Yankees could make it in too.
So the AL wildcard game is going to be New York Yankees versus Minnesota Twins. You have to assume the Twins are going to pitch Irvin Santana in that wildcard
game. Yeah, it's a possibility Minnesota could take that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar to a couple years ago when Houston was in that wildcard game against New York.
New York just has to...
Houston was in a rebuild phase, and they weren't supposed to be in the playoffs that year.
They weren't supposed to beat New York in that game.
And they beat them, so you never know. Of course, they had Dallas Keuchel, who's a true ace. I don't know if Irvin Santana is on the level of Dallas
Keuchel. I don't put him up there with Keuchel, but
he's
a good
pitcher. It is one game, and anything
can
happen.
That's the crazy thing about the wild card game, playoff game, is that it's just one.
And the interesting thing about the Astros-Red Sox series is the last two games of the season slated to start for Boston is Sale and Pomeranz, their two best pitchers.
And they probably will switch that up. I mean, you think they would. There's going to be, like, the thing about it is, not a lot's going to change unless the Indians somehow drop two games out of the last three, and they're playing the White Sox. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, unless Chicago wants to play spoiler for us. I'm a White Sox fan right now, baby.
I'm a White Sox fan this year, the end of this year. But, I think when you look at that, you look at, of course, it's going to be the Indians will probably get the one seed. The Astros have the two seed locked up. So, that being said, the Red Sox really have nothing to play for. And if the Indians do what they're supposed to, the Astros really don't have nothing to play for. So, these last three games of the season series are kind of a chess match, if you think about it, because you don't want to show your full, or like a poker match, really.
Yeah.
You don't want to show your full deck.
This is
you don't
want to
show
that.
What you're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And as happy as I am that the Astros just whooped on the Red Sox last night, I'm also kind of like, whoa, those points, those runs don't carry over to the playoffs, fellas.
Yeah, but at the same time, we pitched Cy Young candidate Brad Peacock. It's not like we were throwing Justin Verlander or Dallas
right.
Keuchel, so they didn't see our ace, and we're not going to see theirs.
Peacock's our ace. Reed.
Peacock has been the ace this
season.
Check out my article on that. But, I wouldn't say we should. I mean, they know what they're going to get from the lineup, and the lineup's the one that scored the 12 runs. But even then, Derek Fisher was in that lineup. Probably not going to start. Probably not even going to be in the playoff roster, I wouldn't think. So I wouldn't think we're tipping our cards. They had their exact lineup in there, too. So
you never
it's
really
more the
know.
Pitching that you kind
of
keep
gonna
be fresh.
And obviously,
so
regular season games is going to be completely different from postseason games. Because regular season,
we don't know how the Red Sox are going
to
come out.
That's a marathon, and postseason's a sprint. So we'll just have to see how it goes. But as far as the Red Sox not having anything to play for, I have to disagree there. Because even though it's kind of a long shot, that AL East title is still not locked yet. I mean, obviously, the Red Sox would get it with one win.
Oh, well, they're three games up.
They are three games up. But as far as the Red Sox needing something to play for, they need a
wrap-up.
You could argue, I mean, it would be crazy, but say the Yankees swept this weekend, the Red Sox lose the rest of their games.
Yeah, let me look.
They'd have to play a tiebreaker.
And then that's a potential tiebreaker.
And then they'd have to throw one of their aces.
So exactly.
Yeah,
and you're wasting an ace.
The Yankees, they still have three games with the Blue Jays, so they have to win all those, and Boston would have to lose all three. Right?
Which is possible with the way
Houston is possible with the way the Astros are playing.
Houston has scored 10 consecutive runs in their last four games. It's the first time that's happened since 1887 with a team called the Wolverines who doesn't even exist anymore.
And there's got to be pride in there, too. I mean, you don't want a team to beat up on you before the playoffs start.
And real quick, one thing that the Astros should be playing for, if it were to get all crazy like that, who would you rather play in a division series, Boston or New York? I would want to play New York because I wouldn't want to have to fit.
Absolutely. Houston has everything to play for. That was my point. But the Indians have to lose two games.
I'd rather play Boston
against the White
personally.
Sox because the Indians have the tiebreakers, guys. So if they just lose, the Astros would have to win two games and the Indians would have to lose two games, basically.
Well,
Astros would have to win out.
Yeah.
And the Indians would have to lose two. And then they'd play the tiebreaker, which would be in Cleveland.
I'm not even talking about home field advantage here. I'm just saying that if the Yankees were to really pull this out and actually win that division, I would say it would favor the Astros if they did get
I see what you're saying. Yeah. So the little reverse effects, like, yeah, we're almost out of time here. But that would be cool. Rather play the Yankees over the Red Sox. I agree with that. But anyway.